My most pleasure, I feel really, really good. I feel really happy when I make a new song. If I can play guitar, that's my skill. I use my skill to survive. I'm writing songs in Bangla and I really love my language. I really get emotional when I think about the people who gave life for the language movement to establish the language. I think the culture of our country for hundreds of years is fighting back from the rivers, from the disaster, natural disaster. So that's in our DNA to fight back. But if I make a song for my soul, I keep it for myself.
Long take. So we're sitting here in Dhaka, Bangladesh, with Khayyam Zanu Sandi, if I spoke the name right.
My father put this spelling for me, but it pronounced in Bangla, Khayyam Zanu Sandi. When I started writing my name in English, it became Khayyam Zanu Sandi. So I'm using it from my childhood, so it's going like this.
Your father was an important and well-known musician. Maybe we start with him.
Okay. My father was a music teacher. He worked in Bangladesh Shishu Academy. Basically, he used to teach children's music. Then he got into Bangladesh Television, the national television of Bangladesh, as a music composer. And we had a music school in our home. From my childhood, I'm seeing that every week there are people, hundreds of people coming in my home, and they're trained by my father and the other popular musicians. We call them ostads for classical music. Nazal Giti, the Tagore songs, and also Pulli Giti and the other classical musics. They used to learn from our home. So when I, in Bangladesh, we start our music, learning music with harmonium. So when I got older, like I was 4 years or 5 years old, I started playing harmonium. Then my other two sisters, we knew that we can play every song, we can play every raga the other people learn from our home, because always in our ears, like a same raga, everyone's learning the same raga for a long time, and years after years we are listening as a kid the same raga. Then when we started playing harmonium, we know all the ragas. Then we got so many steps ahead.
There's many ragas. So you are basically, you studied first, like in Europe you say sometimes Hindustani music, or raga tala,
Indian classical music.
How do you call it here? Indian classical music.
Yeah.
So you studied this.
I started this, and because we have music school in our home, so with other kids, we used to learn as well. We used to sit in front of our teacher. We used to get every week's lesson, and we show it to the teacher how we are doing. And sometimes we failed, and sometimes they appreciated us. You did well. And from my not remembering memory to my 17, 18 years old me, I never stopped learning Indian classical. Then there was a time I was problem with my voice. The voice was, vocal cord was changing. I stopped for 2 years, and then I started singing again. Then I had a rock band, alternative rock band.
Can we stay quickly with the Indian classical music? So it was like almost like the old system of teacher and pupil, of a guru and a pupil. So you learn really over long, many years. And yes. It's a lifetime learning, basically.
Yes, as well as sometimes there, in Bangladesh, there are some competitions that's called Shikha Saptaho or Notun Kuri, that's national level competitions. So as a child artist in Bangladesh, everyone in whole Bangladesh, people participate in this competition to win prizes. So my father was as a music teacher, he knew what prize competition is going on. So we used to participate in those competitions, and I own so many prizes there. Because I was learning from my childhood, as well as I went few countries to sing as a music singer, as a child artist as well. I went to Japan and Nepal as well, so to sing, to perform.
And is it specific? Do you have also like this system of gharanas? You know, different families of Indian class. Are you in the line of a specific gharana?
No, not in a specific gharana. Basic Indian classical, that what we learned from childhood, yes.
And the singing style is more like the light songs or even Drupad kind of things, you know, like there's like this deep, there's different styles in Indian classical.
Yes. Like in
Khayal or some things like that.
Yes. Different style of music, like when I used to learn Nazrul Giti, that's Nazrul, our national poet, Kazi Nazrul Islam's songs. He wrote, made so many different kind of songs, like Gharan, what Drupad song as well. When I used to learn Nazrul Giti, so then I learned so many of these songs with Indian classical style. So that helped me to know more, to know different, like some songs are Shama songs, that's so tough songs, but I learned this kind of songs, then that helped me to learn. My ears got better from Chacha.
Yeah, I guess your ears and also your skills. And if we look a little bit forward, like a big jump, if you look today at more the pop music of Bangladesh, do you feel, or are you maybe critical about the skills some of the singers have, or do a lot of singers in the pop market have also this background and they render the tonalities and the scales in the right way, the ornamentations? Is there a lot of knowledge still around, or you feel there's they are detached from this old classical kind of way?
In our Bangladesh industry, I see the almost every pop singers, famous pop singers, those who are popular, they are classically trained, basically. And they're popular because of they sing really well. They come from only few artists, they use auto-tune and softwares, but the famous pop artists, they all sing well. And they all came from the same background, like Indian classical background. Now it is some few indie pop artists, they are coming with some Western vocalization background or Western training. But now it is Indian pop artists, Indian classical, that's the most popular artist. And in our country, the Bollywood songs are really popular. So I feel the all the pop artists there we see nowadays are popular. They're really influenced by Bollywood songs, not only Indian classical, Bollywood songs. So people, composers make that kind of songs a lot, as well as people sing that kind of songs a lot.
It's compared to India. From India, I keep hearing that the Indian classical music is almost died out, that it has a really big, difficult standing in society. Is it maybe a bit different here?
Yes, it's different here, because in Bangladesh, the practice of learning is not practiced that much. In Bangladesh, people nowadays, they with social media, they want to get popular. But learning is important for a long, long time. Like I learned from my 18 years, I learned classical music. But nowadays, people want to get popular first. So there was a time we had done school. My father was alive, then should I go, say
that's
again?
All right, that's life. when my father, let's see how many are coming. But if there's only one coming every 10 minutes, then...
No problem, I
or you could also call your friends to keep sending, and then you, it looks like you're in high demand.
No, my father, when I was younger, we had in school, so I saw so many hundreds of people coming every week, and I'm talking about maybe 1994 to 2004. After 2007-8, the students' number decreased in Bangladesh. Nowadays, learning music songs, especially Indian classics, is not so cool in society. So that's why people, especially from the cities, they are not listening. And everything is depends on the culture. That nowadays, this is the culture is decreasing to learn music class, especially Indian classical music, because it's a long process.
But you said it's still in the pop market. It's still a lot of artists that have the knowledge and the skills. Or is it almost changing? Because this sounds like it would change.
It's changing. 94% of people, they are... No, sorry. I made a mistake. 94%.
Yeah, don't be too harsh.
No, because in Bangladesh, the main... So many musicians are popular by singing folk songs. Folk songs are really, really popular here in Bangladesh. Like, we saw in our reality shows in Bangladesh, there were some reality shows when a folk song singer came, he or she got more votes than the other pop singers, Indian classical style singers. So folk songs are really close to people's heart in Bangladesh, especially in our traditional folk songs. That's really, really people likes that. Regular people likes that.
And your father, he was completely into the Indian classical, or also he had different genres that he was singing in. And you have to mention his name as well.
His name is Khodabakh Shanu, my father. And he learned Indian classical from Bongiyo Sangeet Porishad, Kolkata. And then he was into Indian classical music, but he was making pop songs sometimes for children, sometimes for he was used to work in national television, so Bangladesh television. He used to make pop songs, maybe a rap song for kids. So he did so many things. And as a childhood, I was beside him for a long time.
Is there one or two songs that came for which he is super famous for?
Yes,
and maybe you can sing a few lines, I don't know.
Sure.
And translate some of the lyrics.
Sure. There's a song for kids that's really popular of his. The song is Ajke amra chotto shishu kalke boro hobo bidya buddhi gyan diye bishwo joy korbo. Like today we are really young kids, someday we will grow up, and bidya buddhi gyan, like education, our knowledge, and our knowledge, we will be own the world. So that's the meaning of the song. This song is really popular because every government music school teaches this song to the kids first. So that's really popular. He was a kids guy.
Interesting. Do you think because he was in this school and he liked to work with kids?
Yes, he was a kids teacher first. So like nowadays, so many popular musicians in Bangladesh, pop artists, they were my father's student. They are now pop artists. They're most famous pop artists in Bangladesh now, Tahsan and Kona. They both were my father's student when they were kids. So there are so many people. My father was their first music teacher.
So then you started being inspired by rock music.
Rock music.
How did this happen? Were you fed up with the Indian classical?
No, I was not. I was in my so many favorite songs are Indian classical. How can I be fed up? But when I was a teenager, the guys like me, they listened so many rock songs before me, but I was not into any rock songs at all. I was always into Indian classical songs. I listened, but I was not in love with them. But when I was a teenager, I was in my adolescence, my taste was changing. And then I started listening to old Bangladeshi rock songs, as well as I started listening to Pink Floyd, Guns N' Roses, Metallica, all the 80s and 90s rock songs, everything. I started learning Michael Jackson to everything that was going on popular there. And then, like Aerosmith, I really became a huge fan of Aerosmith as well. Then it was trend. Everyone is listening these rock songs. Scorpions, oh my God, I fall in love with Scorpions. Then
Wind of Change.
Yeah. Then we had a band, so we used to learn their chords and leads. Then we used to practice a lot. Then we were really young. We are not that much good. We were amateur. There is a trend in Bangladesh, band mix album. So many bands in one album. So somehow I used to be a poet. When I was in school, I used to write poems. So as a band member, I had the opportunity now make songs for my band. So from the beginning, maybe I was playing 8 chords, but I made a song. So from young age of the band, we had our own songs, some because I was writing and composing songs. So one of our songs got selected in that band mix album. That's called Shopno Chura. In Bangladeshi, legendary some black, the famous bands from that time, Orthoin, they had their song in that album. As well as young bands, we got chance in the album somehow with the songs, but song was good.
So, do you remember the song? Can you sing a few lines from it?
Yeah, sure. It's like, Ekela durera kashe, ratri jano ashe, ekela durer poth dhore, kunche pothik chole, ekela. That was the first song of my band.
What does it mean?
It's a story about a guy who's really alone. As a teenager, I made this song. Why, I don't know. So
were you alone? Was it a rebellious thing?
No, it's music? It's the end of the world, like thing. Maybe I got it from any science fiction I read in my childhood. So I made this song, and this song got selected. Then we were not a good band, but people knew about our band, so we were getting gigs, shows. Here and there. So that inspired us to learn more, to practice more, because people knows us. We had to perform well on stage, so we used to practice a lot.
Pressure starts rising when the audience is coming.
But we were enjoying. Like, I was not a night person. After being in the band, I became a night person. We used to practice in nights, and I don't know, maybe I was a bit nerd. I was the nerd of the band, because I was making the songs. Like, the song is good or bad, I don't know. Like, 2 a.m. I made a song. I called my friend, "Hey, I just made a song. Do you want to listen it?" Yes, I want to listen it. "Okay, I'm coming to your home." I'm going to his home, and we are singing the song. My sister was in our band as well, because we were, my elder sister, our age difference is just 2 years, so she's almost like a friend to me. So she was in my band. So we were enjoying our time, basically. So I did this rock band for next 12 years with my friends.
So you were writing songs in the night, and this brings me to a question, like creativity. How important is creativity to you? What does it mean for you and your life to create lyrics or a song or something? Can you put that in words?
I told you I was a nerd. I'm still a nerd. Like, my most pleasure I feel really, really good. I feel really happy when I make a new song. When I come up with a new song, nothing gives me more pleasure than that. Composing or singing, not my. I really enjoy make a new song. And from my childhood, I used to learn Tagore songs and Nazrul Giti. They basically the main two musicians, poets of Bangladesh, the Tagore and Nazrul, they made thousands of songs, like maybe thousands of songs. So they're my idols. So I feel I need to make thousands of songs. I made hundreds now. it's a long story. But I think I want to make a lot of songs, new songs that I create.
What is it, can you again put in words, what inspires you with these songs of your two idols? What is the speciality of their songs? What is special about them? What do they do super well? Or
variations, like Nazrul in Bangla language is really sweet. Poet Nazrul, he changed the style of the language with his poetry. Like it was not a rebel language, it was always a sweet language. So when he changed the structure of the saying something with his poetry, so that comes with so many variations. So Nazrul had so many variationized song. If nowadays rock bands sing his songs because that's so rocky. So he was so versatile, that inspired me a lot. As well as the Tagore, his songs are sweet, but the using of beats. Like not only 8 and 6 bit songs, he made so many songs in 7 bits, 7.5 bits, 15 bits. He made some beats in Tagore, the Rabindranath Tagore. He made some beats himself to make a song as well. He researched a lot. He made some beats as well. So these variations inspired me from my childhood, that I know so many songs. So that my knowledge really... Because I was learning, I was not thinking what I'm learning. I was as a child, but when I was growing older, that inspired me. Like I'm making songs, they made so many different kind of songs. Why can't I? So now it helps me. Sometimes I'm making a jingle that feels like a 90s. Sometimes I'm making so I'm making classical jingles as well. I'm making rock jingles. I'm making electropop jingles for like in Bangladesh the 4G is coming internet. So it's internet 4G thing. I made some electropop music. So I can use different artists as a composer. That's a dream, to work with different artists, different vocal. For my projects, I composed a pure Indian classical song, a folk classical song, a full-on rock song, full-on punk song, school rock, like Green Day. I composed that kind of songs because I needed that. I composed romantic love ballad songs. So my listening, my learning really helping me, not only to commercially helping me, but also helping me to feed my soul.
And your father, when you went into this rock music, writing your own lyrics, was he completely in favor of it, or was he skeptical or even critical about it?
He's completely in favor of it. My father was really visionary from really young age, because my father was not from Bangladesh. He was from India. And in India, there was a band called Mohine Ghoraguli. There was revolutionary and there was a rebel band. My father used to listen to them when he was young, and then he knows them, knew them personally as well. So he always supported, like when I was a kid, he bought me a guitar, but there was no one, not that much people were playing guitar around us, but he bought a guitar for me. Maybe not me, guitar for our home. Like one of my kid will play a guitar. He bought a keyboard for. He was always so open to new technologies, new kind of songs. Whatever I'm making, that's maybe too many rocky, but he never criticized. He was really what we I am today. Even my sisters are today. My younger sister is making. She's doing jazz now, and it's because of him. He was so open to everything. He was really open to everything. So that's really helped us to grow, and I'm really lucky. I'm privileged. That's Ashwin.
Yeah, I wonder. It's something beautiful to have a dad in music that supports you. Because in a lot of countries, when you talk to musicians,
Bangladesh, people are so religious. So in Bangladesh is really a huge conflict between you can sing or you cannot sing, because religion is not prohibited singing, music, playing instrument. But in Bangladesh, this is reality. When you came here, I told you that we are not, culturally, we are not motivated to doing music, culturally, for a long, long time. The age of Bangladesh is 50 years. Culturally, we are not motivated to do music. That's why year by year, musicians are not, people are not learning music. But getting this kind of support from your family is really, really helped me to be who I am now and will be till the day I die.
And this, when this rock movement started, so when you had all these rock bands, were they politically, was it something that was looked at critically from politicians, but also maybe from religious leaders? Were there also like these issues of that it was told they are Satanists and things like this? Did you have these stories as well in Bangladesh? Because you hear these in many countries in the Arab world, for example.
People don't hate that much rock music, or they don't hate that much, because we had some legendary musicians like Ayub Bachchu, James. He's the now most popular rock star, James. He's singing from 80s, and everyone likes him. And if you go in a village, remote village, you cannot stand in his concert because of people. Only him, James, few musicians and rock song artists can gather this much people in Bangladesh rather than folk artists. So these people, they made a path for a long, long time for rock music in Bangladesh that's popular, really, really popular now.
So we are still in your rock band that is not playing well, as you said, like many times. No, it was not playing well. So what happened with this bands, the first bands?
Yeah. After doing it for 12 years, we dismantled the band, because I, as a composer, I was making so many songs that's not rock. But our band was in fixed genre. It was alternative rock band. I can't do any classical songs there. I can't do any experimental songs there. I cannot do indie pop songs. I cannot do a poetry, full poetry songs, poetical songs. So it was, and I had one or two songs released in dramas or movies. And when I was in concert with my rock band, people are asking me to sing those songs, but that was not songs for my band. So that was conflicting my vision with the band. That's why we dismantled the band. Like, I want to do more music. I wanted to sing different kinds of songs. I was not singing with my band. I was really, that will make my long term as a musician, that will fix me somewhere, I think. Can we change the room? Can you go to my art studio?
Let's change the room.
There's a meeting.
We'll leave the green room now, because we're sitting in a green room.
We are going to be in a yellow room. This is a green room.
Take 3 in a new studio, in your studio. That's where you work here.
Yes, this is where I work. This is my fourth studio. First one I had in my home. The second one I had near my home, the third one also beside that building, and a fourth one is here.
How does your days look like?
Days.
A normal day.
Normal day. My normal day, I'm a night person. My day starts at basically average after 1. So 12 or 1. So at the noon. So that's my average waking up time. But I, as a freelancing musician, I manage my time. Sometimes when I work in the morning, I start working early. I sleep early. Sometimes I sleep. I don't sleep at all when I'm in work. I'm sleeping 2 or 3 hours daily, and I'm working and working.
How hard is it to survive as a freelance artist for yourself, but maybe also from other artists that you know, or for other artists that you know?
It's really, really tough in Bangladesh, because we don't earn not that much. What I earn is really a good amount of money in considering Bangladesh, because I'm working for a long time. I'm working commercially for 12 years, 13 years. That's why I'm somewhere that I earn a good amount of money that I can survive with my family. But in Bangladesh, reality is that not that much money going, and the amount of money we get for commercial works is also not that much handsome. So it's tough, really tough. But I have to work a lot to get money to survive. My savings is not that much good savings amount. So I know it's tough. It's really hard.
And is your to which extent is your family dependent on your freelance income? Or do other people in your family also provide money, or is your family does it need that income? Is it the main income from the family?
In my family, I have only my mother with me. My other sisters, they are also artists as well. My family is an artist family. My elder sister, she's a prominent actress from movies and dramas. And my younger sister, she's also a musician. So in my family, I have to bear expense for me, my mother, and my daughter. So I can manage that. And also, they also support, helps me, because my mother is also their mother. So that's it.
Is there some things like fear in you or worry for the future?
Yes, sometimes I am, but I believe that in my back of my mind, I believe that I have that confidence that I can really make something new every time, because in my work I get really new challenges every day. Like, I have to make a song for a horror movie. I have to make a song for a kids project. I have to make a song for a erotic project. I have to make a song for maybe comedy project. So for a long time, I'm always surviving with this, and I'm coming up with something really good, appreciated by the people, and these are my sellable projects. So I have that confidence in me that I can make so many things. Like I make horror project for adults, make something right and made, and as well as horror for kids, I made some songs, and these are really appreciated by everyone. So I have that confidence that I will someday I will be rich.
Is that a goal?
No, it's not a goal at all. If I wanted to be rich, if I get in the beginning of the interview, I told you that I get really my pleasure to make a new song or new project. Sometimes, like in this week, I'm not working at all, but next week or after next week, maybe you will not get any time off from me, because this week, why I'm not working, I have pending works, but I'm giving time for myself. I'm walking around, I'm going out with friends, I'm going out in long drives. This is because of I want to get sometimes for myself, my soul, that in a good mood, I will make a good song and I can sell that. If I make a good song, wherever it is, I can sell the song.
Is this something you learned in your career, that creativity needs space, joy and inspiration? Yes.
Sometimes I gift myself foods, good foods. I give myself long drives for my soul, that if I feel the vibe of any place or any people, I for a long time I discovered that I come up with a song, and that's I'm growing for a long, long time. Sometimes I get stuck, but if I sit down and I can feel the moment, I can make a song.
So far, your story sounds very positive, one could say. Were there moments that were also tough, or where you were really struggling in your career?
In my career, I never struggled yet. But in my mind, or maybe really as a Bangladeshi perspective, I economically struggle sometimes. But that also, when I do more projects and some works that I really don't want to do, sometimes I do that for money.
I read about this umbrella Bangla music, Bangla pop. Is this an umbrella that people put you under?
Yes, people put me under that umbrella. I'm always making feel good songs, but I don't complain, because there are people there. They heard so many projects of mine, they don't know that's mine. I deserve produce something really different. But they don't know that's mine. That's not popular pop at all. That's psychedelic rock. They don't know that composed by me. But it's okay. I don't care about that. Maybe I'm not that much good that people knows. As an artist, I should not care about that. They will know if I do something really huge. So I think in my mind, I always think that I'm not a big of a deal. And in my mind, I practice that. If I think I'm a big deal, then I will not make new things. If I always think I'm not someone big of a deal, so that really inspired me, make new things, challenge myself to make new songs, new projects. That like next project I'm coming up. That's a mix of romantic science fiction. I haven't done that yet. I haven't started working. I don't know which vibe I'm gonna be in next few weeks, but I'm really excited about it. Like you can see, my goosebumps are coming. What I'm gonna do when I'm on after the project is got edited, I will start working for the music from the project. Then I will know what I'm gonna do. I don't know now, but I'm really excited. I'm coming with some different instruments. Like the last project I did, that called Syndicate, that's a web series that really got popular in Bangladesh. It was a psycho thriller. So I used Indian instrument Eshraj. So that's a different kind of music for a psycho thriller. I don't think in this world no one used an Eshraj Indian instrument for any psycho thriller. Maybe they used violin or sitar, maybe, but no one used Eshraj. So I used the basic instrument Eshraj for the psycho thriller. But I used it after watching the first glimpse of the movie. I want to use this instrument, and this is my basic instrument. So I don't know what I'm going to do for the next project. So I'm really, really excited. But as well as this is a psycho thriller project, the whole project's music is so deep and grunge rockish. It's a grunge rockish. I sometimes love to listen some grunge rocks in English band, the Cage the Elephant. I love their songs and vintage, down towards dirty sounds. So I used some grunge rockish flavor with in that project. So people knows me as a pop guy, but that's a full project is in a grunge rock vibe with mixed sound with an Indian instrument, Eshraj.
Can you explain to the listeners about this Bangla pop, about this genre, if it is a genre? What is it about? What is Bangla pop?
Bangla pop is Bangla commercial songs. That's Bangla pop. That's Bangla commercial songs. Because I, in movies or dramas, music, drama songs, I compose a lot of Bangla feel-good songs. That's Bangla pop. Bangla feel-good songs, that's a Bangla pop.
What would you define as a good Bangla pop song? What makes a good Bangla pop song?
I cannot judge any other guys or good or bad songs. Some song is I really like. Some songs I don't like. My friends like so many songs, but some songs they don't like what I like. So I cannot judge what is good song or bad song.
So for yourself in your own songs, then what can you put in words? When is a moment where you think this works out? This is as strong as I want it to be, or as fragile as I want it to be, maybe?
This is my secret from my point of view as a creative guy. My secret is when I feel something, I feel that's from my soul and heart. And when I'm composing it, I'm making something that people gonna listen, then I use my brain. So I mix my brain with my soulful something, and I mix it and put it out. So whatever I'm making, I feel it from my heart, then I mix it with my thoughts, what's people liking nowadays, or it will sound good or not. I also think for the market as well.
So it's a mixture. Your super personal emotions and knowledge within the song, maybe, and on the surface also trying to that it's accessible.
Yes, 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 yes. That's my style of working.
That could also be frustrating after a while. If you always have to put the head in that it works a song, maybe you want only to release at the heart bit.
I have a place for that as well.
Yeah, you're smart.
Whenever I'm singing for, like, after my rock band dismantled, I started singing for myself. So whenever I'm singing for myself, maybe a popular pop artist, if he or she listens to one of my songs, he will say, oh, it's a okay song. But if I make a song for my soul, I keep it for myself. This is my soul, so many soulful songs. I made 15 to 20 soulful songs already, and I kept that for myself, that I'm gonna sing and I'm gonna release, because that's not commercial. I don't know how much I'm gonna earn. I don't know that syllable or not, but I keep that for myself. That's from my soul. Like after disbanding the band, I made five songs released. I made 20 songs, but five songs has been released, and those five songs I can tell that's my soulful songs. I never thought how people's gonna like it. Some songs got really popular, really viral on Facebook. Everyone, after releasing it, everyone's in our community was sharing, thousands of shares in one night happened. Sometimes 500 views. But I don't care about those songs. Those are my soulful songs, projects.
Can you sing one or two of these?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Maybe first say what the song is called and what the lyrics are, maybe in English. More or less. It's difficult to translate lyrics.
Yeah, yeah, but it's a travel song. It's a memory of myself of traveling with my loved ones in a long drive. And it's a driving song. It's a moment, it's a memory of my good times with someone. So that's how I explain it in Bangla. Sorry, I need to stop. And tune the guitar. Sorry. Hariye jai shohor theke dure amar ganer shure chole gari
এই পথে তুমি পাশে, তাই তো লাগে ভালো আলতো করে যখন হাতটা আমার ধরো, মনে হয় এ পথ যেন না শেষ হয় হালকা রোদের খেলায়, এদিনটা থাকুক জেগে খুব কাছে আমরা পাশাপাশি, যেন ইচ্ছে মতো আঙুল ছুঁয়ে রাখি, হারিয়ে যাই শহর থেকে দূরে আমার গানের সুরে, চলে গাড়ি এই পথে হারিয়ে যাই। পথে থেমে দুজন দুপাশে মুখোমুখি বসে, আর দু কাপ চা মাঝে মাঝে যেন ইচ্ছে করে টেবিলের নিচে লেগে যায় পা, মনে হয় এদিন যেন না শেষ হয় আমি ক্লান্ত চোখে তোমায় থাকি মিশে, খুব কাছে আমরা মুখোমুখি, যেন ইচ্ছে মতো এখানে বসে থাকি, হারিয়ে যাই শহর থেকে দূরে আমার গানের সুরে, চলে গাড়ি এই পথে তুমি পাশে, তাই তো লাগে ভালো আলতো করে যখন হাতটা আমার ধরো, হারিয়ে যাই তোমাকে চাই।
Sweetness of voice and lyrics, why is it important, or why is it, you think, in the core of Bangla singing and music?
That's because of the language. The Bangla is a sweet language. It's always been a sweet language. Like before I told you, only maybe some progressive songs, progressive rock bands, and the national poet Kazi Nazrul Islam, he made this song progressive, brave. Without few of these artists, Bangla song is much more sweeter. But I can, as a composer, I sometimes write, if I'm like I made a song that's from my rage, like
lal shada andhokare কত মানুষ ভিড় করে, শুধু গল্পটা জানা হয় না, রাস্তার কত জন জানে।
This is my upcoming song, so this is not really sweet, this is some rage and complaining about the my life. So,
and do you know historically where the sweetness comes from? It was always there in the language, or you have an idea or a theory about it?
I think the people who talks in Bangla, these people in this subcontinent in Bangladesh and West Bengal, there were fertile lands. People here in they are much more into farming for a history, 1,000 years. They're into farming because there's low land, some good soil places. So I think these people are who talks in Bangla for thousands of years. They are always been good people. They live by themselves. They earn by working, farming. They earn by farming. So these kind of people, they don't had to fight or they don't have to be so rude because of the nature. That's why the Bangla is always sweet and poetic. And also because of two huge poets in Bangla, we have five poets. We call them Panchokobi together. Five Bangla poets there, we call them Panchokobi, but two of them is had most impact in Bangla language. That's Rabindranath Tagore and Kazi Nazrul Islam. So these two poets made so many songs. The people, whoever talk in Bangla, they knows their name, they knows their songs, not only one song, they knows so many songs of them. Like Rabindranath Tagore, he named so many flowers because of wanted to write poetic songs with those flowers' name. So he named so many street flowers. He gave them the name, like Krishna Chura, Radha Chura, Rororendron. So he had that much impact in our language as well.
So let's talk about two aspects of the Bangla songs and Bangla language as well. One, the political side of it, but maybe before, nostalgia. Is nostalgia an important a factor within these songs when you sing in Bangla, and the sweetness of it? Has it to do with nostalgia as well? For faraway times, better times, less troubled times?
Yes, yes. In here, you know, in this fertile lands, people always, but who is always economically challenged people, they always like to think good about the past times. We are good. We have Bangla song, a popular song, Age ki shundor din kataitam. That's a phrase, Age, there was a time we were so good. This is a really famous phrase in Bangla, Age ki shundor din kataitam, like... Age ki shundor din kataitam amra. People like to say this. Like when I was a kid, I used to listen to my elders. They talking Age ki shundor din kataitam. Nowadays I'm older. I listen to my friends and everyone saying Age ki shundor din kataitam. So it's a common phrase in every Bengali that the past times are really better.
On which different levels is it also a political stance to sing in Bangla?
Oh, it's not important. Like, in my head, I think in Bangla. I don't think in English. So I have always read the Bangla books, Bangla poetries. So when I'm making something, creating something, my comfort zone is Bangla. I can talk in Hindi. I can think in Hindi. I can understand Hindi. But I haven't yet wrote anything in Hindi. Because I feel Bangla, I have more knowledge in Bangla. Like you can say any English word, I can translate it to Bangla because I have that much my establishment in Bangla, in my knowledge. So I'm comfortable in Bangla. It's not any political. I'm comfortable in this zone, Bangla.
Is there some kind of activism in your, are you a political person?
I'm politically aware person. But I'm in Bangladesh, it's tough to support any political views because no one is so clean. So in my mind, as an artist, if I'm supporting any political persons, political parties, if they are doing something wrong, I will, as an artist, feel I'm a part of that wrong thing. So it's, as an artist, I'm really, it's tough me to soulfully support any political parties, but I'm aware about my political views, and I'm aware about what's right and what's wrong. As an artist, when it's wrong, I will write something. Like I can, personally, when I miss my kid, I write songs for her. Like shokal bela ghumta bhenge. It's like I'm missing my kid. So when I feel my mother, I write songs for my mother. When I feel the nation. I write songs for a nation. When I will be motivated to write political songs, I will write political songs. I will. Nothing can stop me as an artist to write. And I can publish that or not. The circumstances will tell that. I can publish that or not. But nothing can stop me writing my soulful things. I think so. If I'm physically well.
So I think we have a photographer here in the house that makes these clicks, and he has a question because he lives in Dhaka for 2 years now, and he had a question about the language. So I think he needs to talk to say it. No. Örjan Ellingvåg.
Yeah, no, you're a pretty young nation, relatively speaking, and I think I've been told that your the language, the creation of the language movement, is a big part of being Bangladeshi, the almost like a nation building part. Can you speak a little bit about that? What does the language movement mean?
To be very honest, I don't know where you got this. As an artist, as an educated person, people in Dhaka, people who are educated, people who thinks about this, they're really aware of the language movement and they really love their language. But the young people who are really trying hard enough to feed their family, they are not so many bothered about the language. They are watching Hindi movies. If they're entertained, whatever, they're watching K-pops now. Young people, so many K-pop fans in Bangladesh, are they motivated for the language movement? They're not. But they respect from their, they got the education from their family that we must respect our language. They talk in Bangla. Also, they're talking in English. But if you finger point them, oh, we should respect, they will accept. There are some good young people are coming, next generation. But people are really motivated for the language movement that happened in 1952 in Bangladesh. But that's the artists, the educated people, that more urban people, they carry those things a lot rather than people who are fighting to feed the family.
Do you see yourself as a part of this language movement, maybe 70 years later?
Yes, I'm an artist, and I'm writing songs in Bangla, and I really love my language. I really respect my language. I really get emotional when I think about the people who gave life for the language movement to establish the language. I even there was a time when I was in it's a lame story. I was in class 5 or 6, and maybe it was 21st February 1952. Some people died because of to establish the Bangla as the language of our mother language. So I used to read so many books as a kid. I grew up reading story books and so many books and newspapers as well. My family tradition was like that. So I got one night I got emotional before 21st February. Then I wrote 10 or 12 poems in posters, and in the night I just posted the posters in the wall in my area. I don't know why I did it, but I was crying. I was a young kid. I was 11 or 12. I was crying for the 1952's people who died for the language. I got emotional. I'm like this. I cry. I always cry if I feel I need to cry. So I cried. Then I posted it, and I felt it in my heart, and I carry that feeling. I'm adult now, but I carry that feelings inside me always. It's my personal perspective. I don't know about others.
Örjan, you have a question?
Yes, I think I have two. I wanted to see if you can talk a little bit about this, the vocal culture, because I've seen also, I mean, I travel around and if there's a rickshaw pulley or whatever, it's like they're singing and their voice is just insane. And so it's a very, very established culture, which I guess have a long tradition. And then if you can talk a little bit about the resilience of the Bangladeshi, because I think, I mean, that's also observed from the outside. It's a tough life, but it's a very resilient.
I think in Bangladesh, we have so many rivers, and from the, thousands of hundreds of years, the rivers, people's home washed away by the rivers. Every year, they move there to there to there. The culture of our country is fighting back, I think. Like in 1971, we fought back for our independence, because I think the culture of our country for hundreds of years is fighting back for the from the rivers, from the disaster, natural disaster. So that's in our DNA, I think. That's in our basic, to fight back. And the people, wherever you are going, singing songs, I think in Bangladesh, folk song, our rural folk songs, are really impactful. Like recently, I'm a singer, but as a social motivator, I hosted a show that's Magic Bauliana. It's a TV show, reality TV show. I'm hosting that in this season for the first time. I'm hosting something because of my face value. They called me to be a host of the show. That show is really, really popular. People in the security guards of ATM booths, the household woman who works for my mother in the country, she never saw me in the TV, but after hosting this show, she's watching me every week, and she's watching me. I saw your show last week. Hey, oh, that guy sang really well. He got eliminated. I'm so sad. So she's talking about that show. So folk song is really a masterpiece for our country. Like you were telling, Riksha Pular is singing. They are less singing pop or any rock songs. They're most of them are singing folk songs, and I don't know, there are so many baul or folk artists, they're singing in the street. They don't have any that much food as well, but they're in love with the song Bauliana. That's the, they're in the head, they're in someone else, they're enjoying their life rather more than us. They're in the other world. And in Bangladesh, how they survive, people in our country who are the singers, baul, they really love them. They will not die because of food. They will get food. People loves them. That's why. So they're surviving for a long centuries. They're surviving. And in the folk song reality show, I'm hosting that show. 50,000 people registered to sing folk song.
50,000.
Then, top 16 got into the TV channel.
So there's a lot of talent, and there must be amazing singers. When you have 50,000 that apply, then the 16 must be amazing.
What I told in the beginning of my interview, that there is no practice to learn in our country. Maybe 50,000 registered, but what they sing, they can sing. But that they are not learning anymore. So what's the, there's no practice of learning in our country. I'm really scared about that. I think in India, there's a culture to learn. Like I'm learning every day from my life, I'm walking, I'm learning, I'm thinking, I'm learning, I'm mixing with people, I'm learning. But that's me. Because I'm an artist, I'm earning through my projects. But if I see so many singers, so many people in, even the popular singers, maybe they were popular in 5 years ago, but they're not popular anymore. But as an artist, I can tell them, I can tell, you're not popular anymore, you were popular 10 years ago, because you are not learning, you have stopped learning, you're singing the same thing you have sang for the last 15 years. So you need to learn. So there's no practice. Learning is a practice, a culture. That's not happening in Bangladesh, in anything.
I start thinking about topics like masculinity and what it is to be a man. You know, in some countries, to be sweet and crying is something that is not so well seen. How is this in Bangladesh? What is the role a man? How should a man behave or not behave?
It's in Bangladesh, and a man should behave like a man. He's a man. He cannot cry. Man doesn't cry. People saying this. Chilera kadenai. This is the main thing. But personally, in my family, my father, my parents, they never told me, don't cry. This is because my family was different. My father was a musician. He was in a rebel group. So when he was young in college days, so I brought up in a different circumstances. That's why I like when in Bangladesh we always have household persons who work for us. In Bangladesh, if there is a boy in home and the girls who are always doing the household works, like washing dishes or washing clothes. Guys don't do that in Bangladesh, but in my family, I always did that. We always separate, like Friday, Saturday, it's my turn to wash the dishes. Sunday is my other sister's turn. So my family never pointed me like I'm a guy. I'm something special. My mother sometimes did. Mothers like their boys a lot, but my sisters and my father and me myself, I overcome that. So, in Bangladesh, the thing is really like other countries, but I did never got any extra benefit or something like that. I really don't want that. I think my two sisters are more hardworking person than me.
How do you see your role as an artist and as a musician in this society? What is it what you want to bring to this society, or why does this society need you?
I think I can motivate people. Yeah, like he said, that there's so many young people. What I saw, young people likes me if they talk to me, if they listen to my songs, even the older people. I think I can motivate people a lot. I'm a good storyteller with my stories, with my songs, with my poetries. I think I can, if some revolution is going on in the countries in near future, in nation psychological point, I can come up with, like what I said, what I feel, I can come up with a song or some poetry or some story. So I can tell my, I can, I think I can, I believe I can change. I can make something when society needs me. Like in Corona, when just pandemic hit it, that just it was lockdown in Bangladesh. I was feeling people didn't know how many days they're gonna be locked in the home. So I made a song, "Please Bashay Thako," please stay at home. So no one told me to make this song, but I made this song. I felt it. So I think, I believe I can, I think I carry myself as an art guy, but I'm proud of being an art guy.
Is to go international a dream or a goal for you? To bring your songs really to an international level? Maybe first through Bangladeshi living outside, but then maybe also going to non-Bangla speaking markets?
To go outside of Bangladesh and working for international project, I think I'm learning every day. My crafts are growing. As an artist, I always develop my crafts. I'm sensible about my crafts while I'm walking, while I'm talking to people, I'm talking with you. I'm always up to learning. If I'm ready, I think I will get the calls, I will get the projects, I think. Let it come naturally. Let it come naturally. People will know my name and they will call me for the works. If I'm not ready and I get any projects, then I will fail. I don't want to get fail. I want to create a buzz. I want to give my soul for my work.
But are you always that confident?
I'm always that confident. From my childhood, I'm that confident. Like it's maybe because when I was in class 5-6 years age, I was a singer of the class. And I'm singing. And my friends who are not singers, they're learning songs from me. Oh, that song you sang yesterday in the class, that was so beautiful. Can you listen? Can you sing that for me? And I sing that from even my so many friends of mine. They were not singers, they're musicians. They learn guitar from me, they learn piano from me, they learn songs from me, and they're singing outside now and they're enjoying. So I'm always the guy who's the class singer boy in the class, and the guys, my friends were always loved me. My friends' parents loved me. Oh, yes, the singer guy, you sing really well, because I'm learning classical from the. And whenever I'm in an institution, I'm representing that school, that college, that university for the any cultural programs, and I'm getting prizes for that institute. So always the teachers loved me as well. So that gave me so confidence. I think so.
Maybe to finish, I want to open a short chapter, but maybe it's a big one, I don't know. It's the economy behind everything, because you're working with so many different people, with TV, with film, with the music industry. Is it are these difficult economies to work in? And what are the difficulties? Is it difficult to get the right fees? Is it a constant struggle? Do you have to be super tough to negotiate? What do you need to be as an artist on the business side?
Everything. I need to negotiate always. Always people wants to get me in a less amount of money. And I'm working for the last 12 years, yet I have to prove myself in every project that I'm capable of doing it. It's really hard, but I'm really motivated by myself, motivated by my works, that I will make it up. But it's really hard. It's really, really hard with everyone, artists like me, to get a good amount of money from our works and get the money we deserve in time as well. In Bangladesh, there's like, I worked in a project 3 months ago. I haven't got the full payment yet, and I'm knocking them every day, almost every day. What's my money? They will give, but not now. They'll give after more 3 months. That's a practice as well in Bangladesh. So what we can do? We can make communities that no one will work with them. All the people like me working in this industry. The 70 musicians like me will get together and will not work with them. Then next other, they will find another 71, 72, 3 who will work with them, who's gonna get the payment later. So it's a tough job in Bangladesh. It's a practice in every sector, in business, in creative sectors, that payment is not always due. And I'm getting in a place for, I'm working for a long time, I'm getting paid what I demand, and I'm getting. Sometimes young musicians, they promised they're gonna get this amount of money, and they're not getting. They're crying, they're posting status Facebook, that social media, that I haven't got my due money. They're crying. It happens.
And do you have that toughness to all? Because as an artist, not everyone has this toughness, you know, because you do all this fragile creativity. And then the other side, you have to be tough and sell yourself. Is it something you can do it, you just do it? Or is it a big effort for you? Or do you have people who help?
No, it's a big effort for me. I don't have any people to help to get my money. No one helps other to get their money. So it's a big, big effort. But sometimes if I'm not getting money, if I'm not getting works, I don't get worried, because I think that's a blessing for me. I'm not working for a long time. I'm gonna listen some South African music now, because when I'm working, I'm out of learning. So maybe that helps me as well to develop my craft. And then I sometimes teach guitar to the kids. I'm not getting money for next few months. I posted in social media, I'm going to teach some guitar, and some kids, 30, 40 kids, going to come to learn some basic acoustic guitar. I'm going to survive next 3 months if I'm not working. I don't take the pressure. Sometimes it gets me and I got down mentally, but I try to overcome that, because if I can play guitar, that's my skill. I can teach guitar, that's my skill. I use my skill to survive. That's good. I think I can survive.
I think we stop here, or is there something you want to say to the end, to our listeners out there?
I think what you have said, you started that Bangla music is really sweet. It's really sweet. But we also have some harsh songs, rebel songs in Bangla, like Nozrul did, like now some metal grunge band, death metal bands, alternative rock band, they also comes up with some different songs, and there are some people who really loves it, and I think this will grow a lot. There's a progressive rock band called Arsel in Bangladesh, that's a really metal band, rock band, but that's really, really popular in Bangladesh. So, and so many young people, they are really fan of so many bands in Bangladesh. So Bangladesh music is really in a good position, and I think it will grow a lot. People love music here.
That was the final statement, I think.
Thanks
a lot.
I think I've talked a lot.
No, it was amazing, and I thank you also for your openness and for the time, and good luck with all your projects.
Thank you so much. I think you will really enjoy the vibe of you're working with musicians in Bangladesh. You will really enjoy. You will get so many good things here, as well as so many not good things here, not real things, not some fake things, but you can judge. I think by time you will know people.
Yes, I try.
Thank you so much. Thank you.